Father God, we thank you that you are so, so good. Help us to get glimpses of that, Lord. So even when things go wrong in our lives, we can still see your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you are so, so faithful. Let us learn, Lord, how even when we are unfaithful and we run away, you are so faithful and you will pursue us. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of grace and mercy so that when we wander, when we sin, you pursue us. You die for us. You give us life. Lord, thank you for these but a few testimonies of your goodness, Lord. And we could spend hours here talking about just how good you are. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I pray now as we hear this sermon and your message, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds to just grasp your goodness, and then, Lord, to find a way for us to talk about it and to own it and be so, so just overt with all that you've done for us. Amen. If you're getting baptized, if you're one of the seven people getting baptized, you can miss the talk and go get changed, so feel free to wander out. Steve needs to go and put his baggies on so he can do the baptisms. But it's wonderful to be here. So my sermon is called Just the Reason, right? And you all know that Christmas song, don't you? Oh, you don't, because the Christmas song is just the season. But today I want to talk about the reason. And what is your reason for believing the things that you believe? What is your reason for being here? Do you really know it? Do you really understand it? Have you really experienced it? So I want to show you a picture. This is my family. This was in October, in fact, the 7th of October, 2020. It was my 50th birthday, and we had just been allowed to get out of lockdown and travel out of Gauteng, and we had gone down to Naasna to celebrate my birthday. I like my family. I don't really like crowds, so no parties. I like you guys. So we went. This is the Storms River mouth, and we went for a day there. We had to wear somebody's wetsuit that had probably been worn many times before. We jumped on some paddle skis, and we paddled through like quite a stormy surf. It was quite hair raising, and then we went up the mouth where it just settled down. We paddled. We had fun. We jumped off cliffs. We did some sort of lalo boarding. It was just like an amazing day spent with my family. And I have this photo on my phone. And it's just a delight sometimes to open up my photo app, scroll through, find it, instantly takes me back there. I can show other people, like you guys, and say, hey, this is an amazing day that I had with my family, one of the best days of my life. And I get to share it. So now I'm going to do something that maybe no preacher's ever done. I want you to take your phones out. Everyone, if you've got a phone, take your phone out. And I want you to go to a photo that you love. And I want you to tell the person next to you why you love that photo and the memory that it brings up. Okay? And you can laugh, you can cry, whatever it is. If you don't have your phone, but you have a tattoo, show them your tattoo and tell them the significance of that. Right? So just for about a minute, we're going to do this. So feel free. No WhatsApp, no email, photos only. Okay, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. So just have a quick look around. Look at the smiles on people's family. Look at this whole family laughing here. We'd love to see that photo. Hey, there must be stories behind it, right? Absolutely brilliant. Okay, phones away, phones away, phones away. I feel like this might have been an error. Okay, so let's pack our phones away. So the interesting thing about our phone is that we get to keep all these memories on it, and it's easily accessible, right? So straight away, you can flick through, remember that event, right? If you're Generation Z, remember that selfie. I remember that selfie. But I wonder what we did before cameras. You know, there are some memories that burn themselves into your mind. Like, I will never forget Eddie dancing in the front of church, right? I mean, that was amazing, Eddie. That was like really good. Worshiping God and dance, right? I will remember that. But when you get to 50, sometimes these memories start to fade, and that's why the cameras are pretty cool. But what happened in biblical times? What did they do? How did they pass on their stories? How did they remember these things? So in the Old Testament, quite interestingly, we read about these things called stones of remembrance. And there's quite a few in the early part of the Israelites' journey out of Egypt and into the promised land, where when significant things happened, the leader would get them to build these stones of remembrance. And there's just three passages that specifically relate to this. So Jacob at Bethel, Joshua at Gilgal, and Samuel at Ebenezer. And they would take stones and they would build some kind of monument. In fact, Samuel talks about taking specifically 12 stones and building it. Other times they would build altars on which they would sacrifice, and then those altars would remain as a remembrance of what had happened at that time, how God had saved them. So if we have a look at this particular verse from Joshua, it says this. It says, so this is Joshua talking, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord our God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So what is the purpose? So that all the people of earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So he had the people of Israel put these stones up for what purpose? To bring attention to his goodness, to remind people of the undeniable truth that God had intervened in their life. And I love that it starts there, that it says there right at the start, when your children ask. So here's the question to you. When your children or grandchildren or family members or colleagues or people that you just meet ask you the reason for your faith or see you doing something of significance, do you have the answer? And maybe even a more deeper question than that is, do you even have evidence that shows them that there's something different and that they're prepared to ask you about it? So there's a beautiful scripture in 1 Peter. So we did 1 Peter earlier in the year. We went through this, and this is such a fascinating scripture to me because it talks personally to me every single time. He says, but in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So I've just loved today. So we had a bit of a rehearsal earlier in the week. I got to hear these stories back then and see the video. So this is now the third time I've heard them. I still tear up. I still get a lump in the throat when David comes and tells us about being here in Joburg and feeling lonely, about dealing with grief, about dealing with illness, about just this desire to have your friends come along to church and have a place to call their own. And those stories, the end story of that, how God has been gracious in helping with grief and loneliness and community and healing, are undeniable facts that they can never be taken away. So sometimes when our theology fails us, or we can't remember the verse, or anything like that, maybe we can't come and stand up here and preach. But what I can tell you is that I had a real experience with God. I've got a stone of remembrance. And the big thing is, okay, so what are those stones of remembrance? What can they be? Does it have to be something miraculous? Do I have to have some vision or something like that? In Thessalonians, Paul writes to this church in Thessalonica, which is a Greek city full of debauchery, as Greek cities were. And he had gone there and established a church, but he had left. And the concern was that maybe this church would fall away, that they would get a little bit despondent in this terrible culture that they live in. But no, they didn't. And he writes this letter with two of his friends, Timothy and Silvanus, and he writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he says this. He says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." And in that verse, we see three things that can be your stones of remembrance for 2023. And maybe as we get to the end of the year and you start thinking about New Year's resolutions and all of those kind of things, or how you want to be different next year, or how you're going to deal with a year that's going to be worse than this year. And I think that's probably the reality, right? 22, pretty tough. Next year, worse load shedding, maybe water shedding, economy in turmoil, wars around the world, maybe unemployment, who knows? Okay, it could be worse. But even there, what stories are we going to be able to tell about God's graciousness? And here are three that we see Paul commending the Thessalonian church for. And maybe we can do these same things. So the first is works of faith. And this is talking about you and your walk with Jesus. So how is Jesus impacting your life? What are some of the stories that we, like we've heard today, that you can tell of his graciousness, of his faithfulness, of his goodness, okay? And I'm not talking about, oh, God gave me $1 million and all my problems were taken away. No, I'm talking about stories that despite my ill health, despite my parents passing away, but despite my loneliness, I can still say that God is good. And that is an undeniable truth that I will share with people. That is a work of faith. We need to be having those. Ask yourself, are you having those? And then the second one, labor prompted by love. So this is now not about you. This is about others. What is your impact? What is your story of impact in other people's lives? And sure, a little bit of this is about serving in the church and welcoming people and playing in the worship band or preaching. But this is more than that. This is 7 days a week. How are you laboring in love for Jesus? How are you getting out of your comfort zone and serving? How are you getting on your knees where necessary and cleaning other people's feet, mopping up their tears, helping them with physical needs, mental needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs? Or are you just sitting back, hey, enjoying the glow of this church and it's so wonderful and I just get to come and I get to criticize and I get to see whether we're doing good or not? Are you doing? And then the last one, so hard, steadfastness or endurance inspired by hope. The hope that we have of eternity should be inspiring us to grind through the difficult times that will come, the difficult times that we've had. When people look at us, are they seeing us fall apart, reject our faith, reject Jesus, or are they saying, what is wrong with this guy? Everything is falling around him. His life is a mess. But man, he keeps on loving Jesus. What's that about? When your children ask you, what's going on? You've lost your job. You're ill. Why are you still chasing us to church? You can tell that story of the reality of your endurance and your steadfastness inspired by hope. So symbolism is really, really important in the Bible. There's so much of it. I love these stones of remembrance because for me, it's such an important thing. I want my kids to be asking me, what does this mean in your life? I want them to see evidence. I want you guys to see evidence. I want you to be experiencing this for yourselves. We heard some lovely words about BBC as a church and how it's doing well. It's having some real big impact beyond just this little community here. But that's not because of the elders. It's not because of the great worship or the great preaching. It's not even because of the GC. What it is, actually, it's an accumulation of everything that all of us do. This church will be successful because you put everything at God's feet. You allow God to lead you through the right works, through the right service, and through the endurance. And that's how we get to grow. And then there are many more symbols that God loves to share with us, right? So this one here. The cross. and an empty cross. How amazing is that as a symbol to remind us that Jesus died and rose again? That whatever you're going through, whatever sin you're trapped in, God is the one who will release you from that. And then we have the symbolism of communion, bread and wine, body broken, blood spilt. For who? For me and for you, because we are sinners. God, sinless, did it for you. And then we have the beautiful symbolism of baptism, which we're going to see now, seven people being baptized and two got baptized this morning. An opportunity for these people to actually lay down a stone of remembrance to say, on that day, I told this congregation that I believe in Jesus. That symbolically I get buried and symbolically I get raised again, because that actually spiritually is what happens. So we're going to have a fantastic celebration time now where we're going to watch seven people do that. And we're going to sing loudly and we're going to cheer. But there also needs to be a time for you to reflect on yourselves and ask yourselves, sure, if Paul was writing to me personally, would he have those words that your influence is not just in your city, but in the nation? And in fact, those people of Thessalonica, their influence is here 2,000 years later, far, far away from where they were. We can have that same impact. Let's make sure that we drive towards that. You know, I was watching you all sing. Sometimes it's nice to sit in the front and turn around and watch people sing. And when we were singing that song about God's faithfulness, about him always being faithful, it was interesting to see how many people had closed their eyes and were thinking about a time in their life, for sure, when God had been faithful. That is your stone of remembrance. Tell that story to people today. Tell that story to your children, because that's the truth of our faith. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you put in place this incredible plan, that you created us for relationship with you, and Lord, you have not let us go. And we wonder, and we sin, and we do things we shouldn't do. We don't acknowledge you as being righteous and holy, but you just keep coming for us. You keep coming for us, Lord. We thank you for that deeply. And Father God, I pray that we wouldn't feel compelled to respond in the way we live our lives. We want to be better, Lord. But we know that it's not through works, it's through grace, and we thank you, Lord. But for sure, we want to serve you. So help us, Father God, in our own lives to examine where we can put down these markers of our faith that no one can come and take them away, that no academic arguments, no atheist, no agnostic, no one who is going to come and rob us of those real experiences where we get to say, I had a clear work of faith with you. I have seen the fruits of labor that you've inspired in me in other people's lives. And Lord, when things get tough, I just keep on going because I remember what you endured on the cross for me. And I want to endure in my faith so that I can stand before you and serve you one day. Amen.